Shannon Baptist Church exists to make, mature, and multiply disciples of Jesus Christ one life at a time in the Midlands and beyond.
Are you a planner? If you're a planner like I am, we can sometimes fall into pragmatism or what works ministry mentality. A few are the churches that beg God to reveal His plans and divine purposes and then depend on Him to carry them out. Hi, everyone. I'm Dawndy Mercer-Plank, and this is Shandon Plus Podcast, episode number 3, with Senior Pastor of Shandon Baptist Church, Dr. Daniel Dickard. Daniel, explain pragmatism or what works ministry and how we can fall into that.
This is so easy to fall into, Dawndy. And let's make an important distinction. Practicality is good. Being practical is a positive. But pragmatism, or what we're describing as what works ministry, is when the end justifies the means. We've heard this before. Well, if it works, then do it. The only problem is the if it works, then work it mentality. What people want is not always what they need. What people need is a steady diet of the truth from God's Word, fellowship, prayer, all of the basic spiritual disciplines. But consumerism, what we talked about in the last episode, that it then produces pragmatism or a what works ministry. And so what we're saying in this episode, as we're looking at the second individualistic vine, that just because we're getting results, that being the ABCs, well, if we don't have the DEFs, we have the wrong results. If you weren't with us in the last episode, we said the ABCs, that would be the attendance, budgets, perhaps campuses, the secular metrics that we have applied to ministry. But we also have to have disciple making, evangelism, fellowship, and these other aspects of ministry. And so why, yes, there is perhaps the business side of ministry or just doing things decently and in good order. If those things do not include the basics of biblical Christianity, then we have erred. And so that's what we're talking about in this What Works ministry. It's not just about results. It's about getting the right results and getting back to the scripture on how God determines success.
So, because so many of us can be pragmatic, would you actually put it in the category of being a sin?
I wouldn't say that pragmatism is a sin if the results are based on the truth of God's Word. The problem is that we can become very me-centered in our mindset when there's a what works ministry. Again, end justifies the means. God determines success not on our abilities, but our availabilities. In the eyes of God, success is faithfulness. Success is not how large your church is or how many people attend your church. Success is not the number of people that you have in your small group. Success is faithfulness before God. And so this idea of what works ministry really comes down to our disciple-making scorecards. How do we evaluate success? How do we define success? If we define success off of the biblical basics, then it's not wrong to be practical. But when we define success by worldly metrics that are based on business principles and programs rather than the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the Gospel of God, then we have erred in our biblical norms and moved past Scripture. And so if we were to be planted in another country, not having programs, not having all the resources that a church like Shandon is able to enjoy. And I thank God for the resources that we have. But we could still make disciples if all we had was the Word of God, Spirit of God, and the Gospel of God. So this is moving away from secular mindsets of results and moving back towards a biblical model for how God determines success, and that's through faithfulness.
Well, we want to help those listening and ourselves to spot pragmatism or that what works mentality in the church. And one area that we could spend the rest of this podcast on is minimal reliance on the Holy Spirit. You have pointed out several things in your book, Church Together, The Church of We in the Age of Me, one being that churches neglect the Holy Spirit when they operate as if they don't need Him.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And for our listeners, we've mentioned several times this book, Church Together. This is not a plug for the book, but there's backstory here that I think would be helpful to all of our listeners. At the time of writing this book, I was not the pastor of Shandon, but it began with writing two words on a napkin. This came from 25 years of growing up in a pastor's home. My dad is a pastor. I had grown up around the church, going off to seminary and being able to serve in several churches that were good churches but had fallen trapped to the two words, consumerism and pragmatism. So what started with a napkin, writing down two words that turned into an outline that then turned into a writing project that became a book that I believe that God was planting these thoughts in my mind in preparation for Shandon, the church that we're a part of, while we call this the Shandon Plus podcast, God was preparing us here at Shandon to be a We Center church. So when we talk about this idea of what is What Works ministry, I think that when you find this, there's this de-emphasis of the sufficiency of Christ, of God's sovereignty, of the integrity of the scriptures, the power of prayer, and Spirit-led ministries. You know, in some churches, Dondi, there are seats to fill, budgets to make, and maybe even some would say shareholders to impress, although that we know that would be more of a secular mind for ministry. But God does not compromise His methods for mere expediency. What works in man's eyes is not always God's work. So what we're after here is we don't want those who are part of the church of God to short-circuit God's work when expediency is engendered over truth and efficiency becomes valued over effectiveness. So we're really looking at what it means not to be based on a what works ministry, but what does Christ say about His church type of ministry.
So as we look at the power then of the Holy Spirit, and I know you have preached on that from the pulpit, tell us more about what that looks like when people come to worship, but yet don't realize the power of the Holy Spirit and needing the Holy Spirit.
In our churches today, we are practical dualists rather than practicing Trinitarians. Let me explain that. In many churches, we emphasize God the Father and God the Son, being Jesus, practical dualist, but we're not practicing Trinitarians. We as Christians believe in one God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I think that many people have moved away from emphasizing the Holy Spirit in their churches, in their lives, because of perhaps abuses that they've seen in other denominations, or perhaps not even understanding who the Holy Spirit is. So often we talk about the Holy Spirit as an impersonal force. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead Trinity. We know more about Jesus, who was only here for 33 years in His earthly ministry, than most people do the Holy Spirit, who has been here the last 2,000 plus years. Jesus Himself said, "It is to your advantage that I go away, because I am sending the Holy Spirit, who will be your helper." That word in the Greek is the word paraclete, which means your comforter, your guide, your counselor, the one who will walk with you every step of the way. You could be listening to the podcast today and you're just going through a really hard time. Let me just stop and encourage you right now. God is for you. His Holy Spirit is there to guide you through the difficult, challenging times of life. And so we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is whom God has sent to guide us and to guide His church. We shouldn't be afraid of the Holy Spirit, but instead we should embrace the Holy Spirit as the member of the Godhead who God has sent to guide us and to guide His church.
Can we use this as an illustration? Because if someone's listening, because we're speaking about the Holy Spirit as though everyone knows Him and understands the concept of the Holy Spirit. But if we had a glass of milk and we poured in some Hershey's chocolate syrup, And that would signify a person who has become a Christian, surrendered their life to Christ, and Christ has come into him or her. But allowing the Holy Spirit to take over that person's entire life would be putting a spoon in that glass and stirring up the chocolate, where the Holy Spirit is taking over the entire life as opposed to just residing in the life.
That is such a fascinating metaphor that I really haven't thought of, but I do like it because in chocolate milk, I have four young ones, as you know, in my house.
There's and they love,
yeah,
milk.
There's plenty of chocolate milk. There's always Hershey's chocolate, and they don't want regular milk. They want chocolate milk. And when you pour the Hershey's chocolate into the milk and you stir it over time, that what you see is not the white milk, you see the chocolate. And when the Holy Spirit comes into the life of the believer. By the way, this happens at conversion, that we receive the Holy Spirit, but every day we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Now, someone is listening and thinking, what in the world does that mean to be filled by the Holy Spirit? Well, Paul would then say in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled by the Spirit. And he uses this metaphor to say, just as those who are intoxicated with alcohol, how they're not under control, instead be under the control of the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit is in the life of the Christian and that person is daily filled, that means being led by the Spirit. Here's a prayer, Dawndy, that I prayed this morning. I said, God, would you help me to be sensitive to your promptings? And would you help me to be led by what you're doing around me? Would you control my life today? That's what it means to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And so I love that analogy of not just of the white milk that's there, that 2% milk, or depending on what you use.
Almond milk,
whatever you may use. But instead, that it's that the chocolate milk that really you were overtaken, you were controlled by the Holy Spirit.
Do you find a lot of people who maybe come to you for counseling or come up at the end of service for prayer don't realize the power that the Holy Spirit can have in their lives?
I don't think that many Christians today tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave is the same power that lives within us. We think about at Pentecost, where it says that the Spirit that descended on the believers like a mighty rushing wind. That very word for power in Acts 8:1-8, where it says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The Greek word is dunamis, from which we get our English word dynamite, dynamite-like power. There is so much power, and I believe that most Christians, they don't tap into that power. Just this morning, I was helping my youngest daughter, Carolina, and she was wanting for me to take the TV remote. It seemed to be dead, and she wanted one of those AAA batteries. And while there was a little bit of power in the AAA battery, what if we had the power of perhaps a voltage type watt, or perhaps as I even think about in my own yard, that the various power lines, that power line is so much more powerful than the AAA battery. Many of us try to operate our Christian life on AAA battery power rather than tapping into God's Holy Spirit. And I think that we miss out on the power of God in our lives.
We've talked a lot about the Holy Spirit, but in trying to stay away from pragmatism or what works ministry mentality, you also point out we want to keep away from cheapening discipleship and cheapening the idea of prayer. Touch then on the cheapening of discipleship. You have said that what works mentality approach to ministry can cheapen discipleship because that motto of whatever it takes to get them in the door and keep them coming rather than whatever it takes to grow them in Christ. A big difference between those two.
Yeah, a very big difference. Increased attendance does not always mean God is at work. Sometimes it means churches have created appealing spaces to draw in people with a product. I go back to, what if we were to be planted in another country with a group of 10 to 15 believers? with the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the Gospel of God, would that be enough, or would we depend on our own strength and power? Donnie, let me tell you a quick story. Whenever we moved to Columbia over 1 year ago, the lawnmower that I had in Greensboro, North Carolina, it had seen its better day. But it was one of those propelled lawnmowers, and it was so easy. Well, we get here to Columbia, and the house that we bought, it has a large hill on the side, and I tried to push the manual lawnmower up that hill the first time, and I thought that I had seen my last day on the lawnmower. And I thought about that in relation to the Christian life. You know, so often that we try to push the Christian life in our own power and strength, in our own abilities, rather than having the propeller, which is the Holy Spirit. So what I would say here is that churches would be more productive and less exhaustive if they would simply pull the lever and activate the propellant power of the Holy Spirit, rather than to neglect Him by do-it-yourself Christianity.
In addition to the Holy Spirit and our other topics, you also want to talk about prayer and not letting that be ignored, because I have seen such a unification within our church and the power of the Holy Spirit in our monthly Stand in the Gap prayer meetings, which anyone's invited to, but that's been once a month. Or was it once a quarter?
No, it's actually once a month.
Once a month. I've been to two of the three that we've had. And we call them Stand in the Gap for a purpose. We're truly standing in the gap, reaching out to God to intervene and take control of our church. And I think that has been one way to keep away from that what works mentality for our ministry here.
There's no doubt. Throughout the scriptures, we see that God's people would call upon His name. I believe we said a few episodes ago that prideful people are prayerless people, but desperate people are people of prayer. I think many Christians today, Dondi, offer small, unspecific prayers, but vague prayers that are small in size and minimal in scope belittle the Spirit of God. You say, what do you mean by that? When was the last time in your own life, for those who are listening, that you were to offer a God-sized prayer with specific prayer that, if answered, only the Holy Spirit could receive credit for? When was the last time in our church here at Shannon that we prayed in such a way that if God answered that prayer, only He could get the credit for? If it's about God-sized results, then we will pray prayers that are God-sized. And so here's where even focusing on prayer as it relates to the Holy Spirit, we know that that same power that rose Jesus from the grave is within us, and we have access to the throne of God. I love what it says in the book of Hebrews. We recently studied Hebrews here, and in Hebrews it says that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we can receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. We have access to the throne of God. Not only is the Holy Spirit praying for us, as the Bible says there in Romans 8, but we have access to the power of God through prayer. But prayer is dependence, when our need for God gets a voice.
So as we leave you today, we just give you three practical points that Daniel's pointed out in his book, Church Together, The Church of We in the Age of Me. And it shows us how to have more of that we mentality than me. And he says, first, churches must return to a reliance on the Holy Spirit. You touched on that. Churches must trust in the sufficiency of the word and prayer. And churches must remember that our mission is more important than our methods. I think knowing that our mission is more important than our methods really opens us up to letting God do the work as opposed to us coming up with the game plan.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And how powerful it is, Dondi, to think that when God is at work, He will accomplish what man cannot. There in the book of Acts, there was a great teacher of the Old Testament scriptures, Gamaliel. And there were folks who came to him and said, "What's taking place with Jesus? What will occur moving forward?" And he said that if this is from man, it'll fail. But if from God, that you can't stop it. When something is produced by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we call upon God, not relying on our techniques, our abilities, our talents, our gifts, but we rely on the Lord, God can do far more in one moment of prayer than we could do in a lifetime in our own strength and ability. So, church, it's time to depend on the Holy Spirit as we do this through prayer, rather than focusing on our gifts, our talents, and our abilities.
Everyone, in our next episode of Shannon Plus, we're going to look at five relationships of surrender in the Church of We. And really, one thing that's going to be pointed out is how the health of a church is in direct proportion to the health of each individual in that church. Something to think about as we move towards Sunday. Remember, our services are 9 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. And for more details about Shandon Baptist Church, go to shandon.org. I'm Dawndy Mercer-Plank for Shandon Plus.
And this is Daniel Dickard, Senior Pastor of Shandon Baptist Church, signing off. We'll see you next week.